the most trusted and longest-running sports talk show in Tennessee. From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting, this is Sports Talk with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Hines on Sports Radio WNML.
We've made it to hour number four of Sports Talk with Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. We have a lot coming your way between now and the end of the program. We will remind you that Vol calls will come your way at 8 o'clock tonight. At the start of the week, it was supposed to be Vol calls last night. But obviously, since there is no Tennessee basketball tonight, of which it would have been the season opener, that Vol calls will be on in its regular time at 8 o'clock. And Bob Kessling and Brent Hubbs will have comments from Tennessee coach Jeremy Pruitt, as well as athletics director Philip Fulmer, Tennessee Lady Vols coach Kelly Harper, and Tennessee basketball assistant Michael Schwartz. So that's all coming your way on Vol calls tonight at 8 o'clock. But we have Steve Hamer later this hour, a practice report with Eric Kane. But right now, it's your chance to win. It's the Sports Fix at 6. Jimmy, what's up for grabs this evening?
Well, John, we are going to give away a $25 gift card to Breakout Games Knoxville. Breakout Games Knoxville, they've got thrilling escape rooms with a variety of game themes that are perfect for having fun with your friends, your family, or even team building. And this is something that you could do with your coworkers. Now, there are two ways to do it. You can do it in person or a virtual experience. $25 gift card to Breakout Games Knoxville if you can answer this trivia question. Tennessee has played two SEC teams on Thanksgiving Day. Name the two. Name the two SEC teams that Tennessee has played on Thanksgiving Day.
656-9900, 656-9900, star 990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900. Let's start with Danny. Hello, Danny.
Hey, John, how you doing?
Doing well, and you?
Pretty good. How you doing, Jimmy?
Hey, I'm doing fine, Danny. Hope you are, too.
Yeah, pretty good. You're looking for two SEC games played on Thanksgiving?
Yeah, the Tennessee played.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Let's go with Alabama and Georgia.
You're half right. Started strong. Got the one I couldn't
get. Okay, thank you.
Sure do appreciate it, Danny. Thank you. Let's go next to Hank. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Hank.
How you doing, John?
Doing well. Hope you are.
How are we doing, Jimmy?
Hey, we're doing fine, Hank. Hope you are, too.
Good. I'm a big fan of y'all. I was very educated on your sports. Let's go. He said Alabama, and let's go Kentucky.
Alabama and Kentucky?
Yes, sir.
Wow. Nailed it. Good job,
wow.
Hank.
Wow. That was an accident.
I couldn't get there. John fired it at me, and I was all over the place. I couldn't get there, and it didn't take you long.
I would have never got it without help. I was thinking Kentucky and Vanderbilt.
I was thinking Kentucky, Vanderbilt. Yeah, and I was thinking Ole Miss, because Tennessee has played Ole Miss a lot in November. And
right.
So I wasn't able to get there. But, Hank, you nailed it. Good job.
Yeah.
Yep. John, do you know the year that occurred?
Tennessee has been a part of 30 Thanksgiving Day games against Kentucky. They were 15-11-4 against the Wildcats, and they have faced 9 different schools on Thanksgiving, and they, 17 games against Kentucky. Tennessee was 9. They won 9, lost 5, and they tied 3 times. They played Alabama 6 different times, all of the games in Birmingham on Thanksgiving, and Tennessee was 1-4-1 against the Crimson Tide. But they have played 30 games on Thanksgiving, and when it comes to Turkey Day, of which they haven't played on one since 1938, 15-11-4.
Wow. Yeah, I was never going to go with Alabama. I always thought of that as being an October game. Wow. Okay. Hey, Hank, good job, buddy. You have got
Jimmy and John.
$25 gift card to Breakout Games Knoxville. That is yours. So we're going to put you on hold and get that prize to you. Good job, Hank.
Thanks, sir. Thank you.
All right, you be sure and have a great Thanksgiving. And that takes care of the Sports Fix at 6. The first time that Tennessee played on Thanksgiving was actually against Wake Forest in 1892, which is their second season of football.
That would really been a hard question.
Yeah, they've also played Clemson as one of the 9 schools on a Thanksgiving day. So it was really something to go back and see exactly how many times Tennessee played on Turkey Day.
Yeah. Just a couple things to mention, a couple of notes we haven't covered, and that is the Oklahoma-West Virginia game for Saturday has been postponed. And Kentucky coach Mark Stoops said that Kentucky is down 18 players and 10 staffers as they head into this weekend's game. We know they played without 10 players against Alabama. And actually, they held on in the first quarter, and then after that, Alabama just poured it on. But so those notes went out of Kentucky and then Oklahoma. And, of course, there have been a number of games canceled or postponed. That's in football or basketball. It's just been all over the map. And we did mention earlier, and I think Tennessee is trying to find a way to in men's basketball to replace some of the games that have been canceled, maybe sometime in December. That remains to be seen whether they can do that. I know the Lady Vols are trying to replace Florida A&M for this Saturday, but if they hadn't done it by now, I'm not sure if they'll be able to. But there are efforts being made in that regard. It's just a tough situation out there all over the place for a lot of different programs.
Really are. So we certainly wish everybody the best. And who knows, maybe as you mentioned earlier, that we are able to get a little bit further down the road when it comes to treatment and a specific vaccination, and then also, maybe as we talked about some yesterday in the 6 o'clock hour, that the CDC backs off of what has been a very set standard for a quarantine period when it comes to being exposed to it and or coming and being diagnosed with it. And maybe all of that will not only help finish the football season, but also help basketball to get on track and then make things even easier as we head to the spring.
I think that it was Dr. Fauci that said there was a suggestion out there or a consideration of going on the quarantining to 7 to 10 days, not 14. Mm-hmm. 7 to 10 is what I saw on the news the other night. So I don't know if that can be implemented quickly or whether the SEC would take a look at it and say, hey, that's a good idea. We're going to reduce the time. I don't know. About that. And the other thing about the vaccine, and while the vaccine cannot get here fast enough, remember from what I've heard and read, the first people that are going to get it are going to be the first, the medical staff people to try to help them and those that are battling with COVID.
Yeah, and rightly then, so.
And then it's going to spill out to the others. So it could be that even though it might be available to some in December, gosh, John, it might be February, March, even April before it's available to almost everyone. So this is just because you hear there's a vaccine ready doesn't mean you're going to get it right away. Because it's what do we have in this country? 330 million people, something like that.
Yes.
It's going to take a while to get it to everybody.
That it will. But what we'll do is get a break. When we return, it'll be time for a Tennessee football practice report as Eric Kane joins us next on Sports Talk on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
When special guests call in to 99.1 The Sports Animal, you hear them on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline, stanleyfence.com.
Sports Talk continues with Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. We head to the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline as we get to say hello to Eric Kane for a Tennessee football practice report. It's brought to you by Pools by Heritage. Eric, how are you?
Hey, guys. I'm doing well. Jeremy Pruitt met with the media today on the SEC teleconference during his normal time slot. And you know, with the game now postponed on Saturday, another open date, there were no player availabilities on Tuesday. No media availability with Jeremy Pruitt like normal on a Wednesday night at just about this time. And so in this SEC teleconference appearance, that 10 minutes, and then later tonight on Vol Calls is really the only time we're going to hear from him this week outside of his Monday press conference. So a couple of things he got into today on the SEC teleconference. First, about how his team found out about the Vanderbilt postponement and what the team has done since. and learning that there's no game on Saturday. Here's Jeremy Pruitt on that Vanderbilt postponement.
Well, we learned of this Monday afternoon during practice as we were practicing on Vanderbilt. So we just continued to work on Vanderbilt for that day and just started moving forward toward Florida over the last 2 days. Well, I think this is the third week out of 5 weeks that we've not played. One thing about probably football, you want to create the right habits and get into a routine. Obviously, during this entire pandemic, there's not really been a whole lot of opportunity to do that. But it's the circumstances, and we will adjust, and we have adjusted, and we've got a plan for the next 3 weeks, and we're going to work hard to execute that plan.
So that was Jeremy Pruitt on the news when he and the team found out about the Vanderbilt postponement. He said that they continued working Vanderbilt that day, and then since have turned their sights towards Florida. And obviously, the team was disappointed that it couldn't play this weekend, but understands the situation that everyone is in here in 2020. For the first time, since fall camp, it appears that there is a positive COVID-19 test within the Tennessee football program. Here's Jeremy Pruitt discussing that earlier today on the SEC teleconference.
No, from Tuesday testing, we've had one player test positive. We have some players in quarantine. I don't know the exact day that they get out, but there could possibly be some. Yes. Yeah, it's impacted probably most position groups. It might just be one group. Let's just say it was the O-line, So if you had O-linemen that were out, then you're obviously got numbers down. So when you start who's going to play on the scout team, if you had wide receivers out, if you had quarterbacks out, running backs, whatever, if it gets overloaded at one particular position, it really affects the entire organization when it comes to preparation from a team standpoint.
Again, that was Jeremy Pruitt on the SEC teleconference, and a little confusing earlier, but here's kind of, the timeline here. Every team, of course, tests three times for COVID-19 throughout the week per SEC protocols. One positive test returned from the Sunday round of testing for Tennessee. No positives returned from the Tuesday round of COVID-19 testing. So Jeremy Pruitt just said there that you've had one positive. There are some players that are now in quarantine due to contact tracing, and he went on to discuss how that's kind of affected practice a little bit and how the numbers are shifted a little bit in terms of preparation for scout team and getting looks for the ones and the twos, and it kind of has an effect on that. Again, very vague. We don't know how many's in contact tracing. We probably won't know how many are in contact tracing, but that was Jeremy Pruitt earlier today. And again, this is the first time that Tennessee's dealt with a positive test and some contact tracing since fall camp, when it was really a big issue. But again, that was Jeremy Pruitt, some comments earlier today on the SEC teleconference. Again, there's going to be no Jeremy Pruitt press conference here at 6:30 like normal on a Wednesday, but he will meet virtually on Vol calls again tonight, 8 o'clock, right here on the Sports Animal.
A source that told me earlier today that Jerry Garantano did not practice today, don't know why, so I don't want to jump into all the reasons why. Also, Tennessee is going to allow some of its players to go home for Thanksgiving, and those that stay, they're going to have a Thanksgiving meal for them. Eric, in regard to this, I asked Coach Pruitt about the run game efficiency, and he said that he thought that the run blocking has been pretty good all year with one exception, and that the offensive line staying together has helped with their performance this year. But I thought it was interesting. He thought they had done a nice job in every game except for one, run blocking.
Believe we've lost Eric momentarily. We hope to have him back on in mere moments.
Yeah, so Eric, I don't know if you heard me. Did you hear me about the offensive line, what Pruitt had said?
I did not, Jimmy. Sorry about that. I lost you.
So he said that other than one game, he thought the run blocking had been pretty good this year, and some of that had to do with continuity up front with some of them. But I thought it was interesting that he felt like the offensive line has done a good job in run blocking with one exception.
Yeah, that one exception, obviously, if he believes it's one exception, it is definitely Georgia. Couldn't get any momentum on the ground, couldn't get any push up front. struggled pass protecting, struggled run blocking, and all the more. But it has been better in run blocking. I mean, there's no debate in that. Tennessee's really struggled in pass protection, specifically the tackle positions. I don't think it's been exceptionally well in the run game this entire year. I thought it ran the ball decent against South Carolina. I thought it ran the ball well against Missouri. And, you know, after that, it's, you know, really up until Arkansas, in my opinion, where you got a pretty good effort on the run game before Auburn last week, when I thought Tennessee really dominated the line of scrimmage. And, you know, these guys are starting to play more and more together. You're starting to see more of that Morris, Smith, Kennedy, Mays, Wright five, and that's the five that the Tennessee coaching staff wanted going into the season. They're playing more and more ball together amongst those five. But I found it interesting on the offensive line, Jimmy. We know about the struggles of Wanya Morris in preseason camp when he was in quarantine two specific times and he missed all of camp. We knew others, you know, had missed a lot of time in camp, but Jeremy Pruitt said earlier today, Kayron Calvert, who came in and played a lot of right tackle against Auburn in that loss, he was in quarantine for, he said he believes, 28 straight days during fall camp due to contact tracing. And Kayron Calvert is a guy that, you know, coming into spring practice all the way back what seems like years ago, but earlier this year, was going to challenge for that spot at right tackle along with Darnell Wright, and he was kind of the forgotten man a little bit, but it sounds like he was in contact tracing as well. I did hear you, Jimmy, say, talking about a source and how Jared Garantano might not have been at practice today. Jeremy Pruitt was asked, will all the quarterbacks be available for the Florida game? And he said he expects all the quarterbacks to be available and ready to go for the Florida game. So, you know, the question was insinuating, is one of your quarterbacks in contact tracing? And it didn't seem like that from the response from Jeremy Pruitt earlier today.
Correct. Any other news or notes?
That'll do it here for today. But again, this UT football practice report is brought to you by Pools by Heritage. Meet the spring rush. Get your pool started now. From design to construction to maintenance, one call does it all. Call Pools by Heritage at 947-7527 or visit online at poolsbyheritage.com. John, Jimmy, appreciate you guys. Y'all have a happy Thanksgiving, and I'll talk to you Friday.
All right. You as well, Eric. Thank you very much. And that is a Tennessee football practice report as he joins us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates hotline. Jimmy?
Let's go ahead and hear from Kelly Harper. She met with the media. She talks about opening the season this weekend.
I think one of the biggest things for us, our returners are better. They have improved. I think our team chemistry has been good. We've been working hard on that. I think our newcomers are filling in some spots that we needed. So we're really excited about their production as well. And, you know, I just think everyone is very competitive and they're looking forward to playing basketball. I think it's much needed. We're excited about game week.
Kelly, good morning. Howard Meddahl with the Next. If I could ask you about Renaya's next step, and when you think about what she needs to do between now and whenever she decides to enter the WNBA, what do you think she needs to do within her game to be prepared for taking that next step?
Yeah, I think Renaya has a very complete game. I think she can do everything. However, one of the things that we wanted to see with her, we wanted to see her improve getting to the basket, getting into the paint, and maybe playing a little bit more physical there. She makes free throws. She can knock down shots, but and she is super in transition, just beautiful in transition. So we talked to her a lot about that this summer. She has worked very hard on that and giving her even an added dimension to her game.
Kelly, would you talk a little bit about what you've seen in practice so far?
Well, you know, I think our players are picking things up quickly. I think our spacing has been good. I think our balance has been good. We've been able to score in a variety of ways offensively. We've been able to get the ball to the post, get the ball to the basket, also knock down some shots. Defensively, I like our focus. And when our energy is there, you know, our coach is ever satisfied on defense? Probably not. You know, when we are playing well, I think we can do some damage defensively. Again, with our length, I think we're just, you know, we're tall and can contest a lot of shots.
What newcomers have impressed you the most?
Well, I think all of them in their own way. Kean Green, transfer from Liberty, is coming in with great, great energy, great explosiveness, great leadership, competitiveness. I think that's been exciting for us. Newcomer Marta Suarez is, she's got a broad skill set, can play a lot of positions, very competitive, works very hard, great size. We're really excited about her and her future. Jordan Walker, playing the point for us, has come in and given us that added depth that we needed in that position. And she's just a settling presence. She plays with poise, and I think it's been good for our team.
Good morning, Kelly. First of all, happy game week. And despite all the adversity, how ready is your team to start the season?
Well, they're ready to play somebody else. They are ready to go out and put on a uniform and play. So, you know, coaches, we're always trying to get more practices in, but it's time. It's time for them to get out there and play somebody else, and then we can start advancing. So, you know, in terms of ready, we have our basic man in, we have a zone, we have some zone offense, man offense, we have some transition stuff, a few out of balance plays. So I think we've covered just about everything we need to cover for game one.
Coach, I know chatter doesn't matter. It's what happens on the court that matters, but both the media and the coaches picked Tennessee to finish sixth in the SEC. How did that sit with the team, or are they even paying attention to that right now?
I'll be honest, they probably saw it. They see everything. We haven't even talked about it. You know, it's not anything that I'm going to get worked up over. You know, we're out here trying to do our job, and I love the preseason polls because they get people talking about basketball, and I think that's exciting. I think that's the gist of it. That's why we're getting those polls out. But at the end of the day, like you said, it's what you do on the court, and those preseason polls in about another 2 weeks really won't matter.
One quick follow-up, and you may not be ready or may not even know, but besides Renia Davis, I'm going to guess her. Who do you think may start in the season opener?
Ray Burrell will be she'll be on the court as well. And outside of that, we'll still figure some things out. We've got a little depth, and we've got players competing for those spots, and I think that's a good thing.
Coach, what are you looking forward to learning about your team on Friday and Saturday?
Well, I think the biggest thing for me is how are they translating from practice to games? I want to see that, and I want to get them out there. Obviously, the first game or two, you know, it's uniforms, it's lights, it's let's see what our new normal looks like out there. You know, the benches are in different spots. Let's make sure that we're communicating, we're doing what we need to do, kind of get that under their belt really for the first one. But then, are we able to settle in when the lights are on, when our uniforms are on, and execute? And that's where we've been able to do that in practice, and I want that to translate to the game.
Kelly, season openers are always exciting. Does this one maybe mean a little bit more for the staff and the players, given everything you all have been through with the pandemic and everything else?
Yeah, it does. And, you know, we're under so many protocols right now. Every time we get testing results back, I'm holding my breath. I'm going to do this all season long. So, you know, I think just being able to finally get to a game, and we're not that much further behind what we normally would be, but it just feels like an eternity since we've played basketball. So I'm so happy that we're here and hope things go well the rest of the week and we're able to tip it off like we're supposed to. But I'm so happy for our staff and for our players to get to go out and compete. To get to go out and play basketball. It's going to look different, and that's okay, because the goals haven't changed. The rules haven't changed. We get to still dribble basketball, pass, shoot, play defense, rebound. So, you know, hopefully our players will we'll get there and appreciate the moment.
Kelly, I mean, you mentioned it. Obviously things are going to be a lot different, not just for the players, but for you. Is there any kind of advice that you have given them leading up to this week about just how to handle what this season has in store?
Well, we've talked about being flexible, and no matter what, no matter who we've got, we're going to step out and compete. We've talked about those things. And then we've also talked about not having excuses, because there's going to be a lot of hurdles, a lot. We don't even know what they are at this point. And we're just going to take a no excuse, step out and play type approach. And, you know, that's where I want our players and our staff to be very comfortable in handling different adversity, handle things looking different from day to day. And they've done that thus far. That, you know, they really haven't blinked when those things have popped up.
Comments from Lady Vols coach Kelly Harper.
That's Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. When we return, Steve Hamer joins us for Hamer Time on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Stop. Hamer Time. You can't touch this. You can't touch this. You can't touch this. My music hits me so hard.
Sports Talk continues with Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. It would not be right to head into Thanksgiving without one extra helping of Hamer Time, as Ball for Life and all-around great guy Steve Hamer joins us now. Steve, how are you?
John, I'm doing fantastic on this Thanksgiving Eve. I hope that you and Jimmy are doing great as well.
Well, happy to say yes, sir, and wish that you and yours do have a fantastic Thanksgiving. I know you're very excited about the turkey, and no doubt about it, that's going to have to suffice this week simply for the fact that what was going to be a feast of basketball, well, it's been pushed back to a time we hope will be here much sooner rather than later. What was your reaction to find out the Vol Classic, as well as two games next week, have been shelved for Tennessee?
You know, John, I was really dejected, you know, because you're looking forward to a feast that is, you know, athletics in general. When you talk about Tennessee basketball playing Wednesday and Friday, and my beloved Steelers playing on Thanksgiving, and, you know, Vols getting off the schneid and getting back to some sense of normalcy in terms of winning on Saturday. But all of that, you know, including the Steelers game, has been brushed back, and just a very tough week for you know, fans of the program that are really anticipating a wonderful basketball season here on the Hill. So just very disappointed that we're not going to be able to see them play. And I want to wish Coach Barnes and his staff and players the best while he's going through this difficult period of time.
When you look at, I was watching a game where there was a player from McNeese State that was wearing a mask. Do you think, a face covering, do you think that we'll see more players do that?
I think you're probably going to see things like that happen, Jimmy, for the you know, time being. You know, again, we talked about this last week, but you know, I think March may turn into May Madness before too much longer, because there are just so many cases that are, you know, going running rampant in our country, especially through our, you know, college athletics in general. So, you know, I think that you may start to see players wearing masks. You know, I was watching a little bit of the Kentucky game just a few moments ago, and you wouldn't recognize Rupp Arena by the fact that chairs are spaced out. You know, everyone on the sidelines is wearing a mask, and it's just a bizarre scene. So you're probably going to start to see some of that.
In regard to Tennessee, we had a guy that was asked earlier on our show about Keon Johnson. Would he be one and done? And some of the thinking there, Steve, is it almost doesn't matter if he has a great freshman year. If they project him to be a really good NBA player, he could leave. I hope that I haven't seen him play, so I'm looking forward to that. But I guess the point is that if the mock drafts and the NBA folks think that he's good enough, he might leave early or might leave after 1 year. Even if he doesn't put up great numbers.
Yeah, and I think that's what's most disappointing to most Vol fans that are looking forward to watching this Tennessee product on the floor. You know, for every game that is canceled, that's one less opportunity to see Keon Johnson play. And you know, what could potentially be a great, great basketball season, you know, so it's a double whammy because you want him to do well, but at the same time, if he does do well, he's probably going to be a one and done because, you know, on several mock drafts that I've seen put out by ESPN, he's in the top 15. Jaden Springer's in the top 20, top 25. So it really hurts not to be able to see those guys play and have these games canceled and leave early.
Steve, we were talking about it with you last week, and you said that you would echo Coach Pitino's notion that perhaps everything just needs to be pushed back and perhaps look point towards May Madness. Do you think that with so many games being upended and shelved, rescheduled, or just flat-out canceled, do you think more and more coaches might fall in line with perhaps his line of thinking?
John, I think so, and I think he's on to something because, you know, it's terrible when you have these marquee matchups like Tennessee and Gonzaga. You know, that's a big-time matchup, certainly from Tennessee's standpoint. The last time we played Gonzaga, we were able to knock them off out west. So you want to be able to see matchups like that. And the more that we see these big-time marquee matchups get pushed aside and erased, it just garners that momentum for statements like May Madness to come about. So I'm in favor of it, just pushing things back just enough so that we can possibly get a vaccine, things calm down a little bit, and we can see some of these big-time college basketball games.
We, as you mentioned, we've seen a lot of things in terms of adjustments, rearranging the schedule. I mean, let's jump to SEC football. Tennessee, we'll never know where the ball, since there was word of a player that had tested positive for the first time since the start of the season. What do you think in terms of what the SEC is doing in putting a team to the side like Tennessee, playing a game that had previously been postponed this week as opposed to perhaps trying to drop it in December in Vanderbilt and Missouri, and then making such a flexible schedule situation where you may get word on Monday that instead of being at home, you're going to travel. Instead of playing a team from the West, you'll play a team from the East. How do you think the SEC is approaching it in trying to get all 14 teams to 10 games?
Yeah, it's very unfortunate for Tennessee, especially given the fact that, you know, Tennessee wants to get that bad taste out of their mouths from being down at Auburn last weekend. So naturally, as a coach and as an athlete, you want to get right back on the field and prove your wares and get that taste out of your mouth. But, you know, I have to give the SEC kudos because they're working as hard as they possibly can to get all of the games in for all teams involved. You know, unfortunately, that really hurts Tennessee because now, you know, we're sitting out yet another weekend. And, you know, as Brent Hubb said earlier on your show, you know, it's hard to keep the guys engaged at that point. You know, because you're fired up to play the game on a Monday, you're getting ready to go through the rigors of practice once again, and then you get news mid practice that hey, your game has been canceled. Therefore, you're off this weekend. So, you know, I think players and everyone else just wants to get to some sense of normalcy. And you know, frankly, there's a lot of people out there that just want to, you know, flip the page at this point and get on to basketball, but now basketball is being affected as well.
Auburn has self-imposed a one-year postseason ban dating back to the FBI probe involving Chuck Person. What are your thoughts on Auburn's actions?
I think that's a very wise move from Auburn's standpoint because, you know, again, who knows if anything will ever come to fruition with all of these probes. But I think it's very wise for Auburn to proactively impose a postseason ban. You know, whether or not that has anything to do with Bruce Pearl's beard that we saw on draft night, you know, that's yet to be determined. But, I don't know. But I think it's a good move for Auburn.
Do you think that James Harden would be a good fit for the Nets with Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant? Or are there enough basketballs to go around?
Ha!
No, there. You know, as far as I know, the rules haven't changed. There's still only one basketball that's going to be put on that floor. And you talk about a team implosion within just a few weeks of him getting to the Nets. I think that team would implode. I think there's just multiple personalities at play. Now, when you talk about Harden and Durant, sure, they've done it together. They've played at Oklahoma City. They've done it together. They've won at a very high level. But when you got someone like Kyrie, who is very much dogmatic in terms of, you know, I want the ball in my hands, that's a recipe for disaster, in my opinion.
Now, why don't we go to the Pittsburgh Steelers, who continue to be the only unbeaten team in the National Football League. What did you think of the players showcasing their frustration with the notion that they are not playing Thanksgiving night, but they will hopefully be able to play on Sunday?
Well, you know, obviously I think the NFL did the right thing out of the abundance of caution with having the Ravens with so many players and personnel out. It would be a little bit unfair for the Ravens to play, but I echo their frustrations because this is the second time this season that the Pittsburgh Steelers have been inconvenienced, if you will, because of someone else's activity. The Tennessee Titans game was pushed back. It created a early season bye week for the Steelers, so they're going to have to play several games in a row to end the season, and now this happened. And be quite honest, I was looking forward to playing the Ravens on Thanksgiving night without, you know, a couple of their best players that have hurt the Steelers in the past. So it's the right thing for the NFL, but I don't like it.
Yeah, but I'll say this. The Steelers have simply done a fantastic job of taking care of their business of late, playing awfully good football. They escaped with a win in Dallas a couple of weeks ago, but they've just looked better one week to the next as they took care of Cincinnati, and then really, even though it was a bit of a slow start, in the end, just left Jacksonville in their dust. So I know you have to be pleased at 10-0. This has never happened for the Steelers, right?
Never happened, you know, and I'm very, very excited. I try not to think ahead from week to week, but if you get past Baltimore, they're still very, you know, some very challenging matchups. You know, they still got to play the Colts. They got to go to Cleveland, got Buffalo as well on the road. So some challenging matchups, but you know, I think it's about time that we start giving kudos to Coach Tomlin. He takes a lot of grief. He's got a lot of mantras that he throws out there that a lot of people, you know, don't necessarily like. But, you know, I think we have to give him some kudos at this point.
Yeah, he would get my vote for Coach of the Year when it comes to the NFL for right now. But, hey, Steve, we always appreciate it. Thank you so much. Hope you and your family have a wonderful and safe Thanksgiving. And be sure, and at someday we hope to get to experience Cher's turkey.
That's coming. You know, she's got the sweet potato casserole. I'm supposed to do some work tonight with some deviled eggs. So, you know, if I'm on the show next week, you'll know that I made it through my own version of deviled eggs.
Nice. Well, we always appreciate it, my friend. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks, Steve. Same to you.
We will get a break and be back with a final segment to today's edition of Sports Talk on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
From the Budweiser studios of The Sports Animal.
Wile E. Coyote, super genius.
We are 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Wile E. Coyote, super genius, Jimmy, or super Guinness, right?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you, John. My return went down.
I said Wile E. Coyote, super genius, or super Guinness, as we go with a long-time Hyams family inside joke.
That's right, because there was a beer truck, and one of my astute daughters noticed it and said, I'm like that beer truck, I'm a genius. Except it said Guinness. But that's okay. Hey, we all
of
make
course
mistakes.
It is. That
you
we do.
You got to be able to read the defense. And she didn't. Yeah, she's doing the coverage.
So. But certainly, it's we're out of time for today's program. Hope everybody has a safe and wonderful Thanksgiving. Jimmy, I hope you and your family have a wonderful time and that everybody is safe and secure wherever they may be.
John, I appreciate that. Same to you and your family and to all of our listeners. Happy Thanksgiving.
And we sure do appreciate that. We say thank you to Ben. Thank you to Sam. Thank you to all of our guests. Thank you for listening. And stay tuned, as at 8 o'clock, it'll be Vol Calls right here on 99.1 The Sports Animal.